Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we're going to have a fun show tonight. We got 4 full hours. And of course, we're going to touch on what happened last night with the Boston Celtics. Just a stunning performance after what's been, let's call it an up and down season, a tumultuous season, a season where the Celtics have, let's just say, they have not lived up to expectations. I'm going to try to be positive and nice here tonight when it comes to the Celtics, coming off what we saw last night, the performance last night. Of course, that can be quickly erased depending on what happens against the Kings tonight in Sacramento. So I figured what we would do here tonight is, because we got to take advantage of this, our very own Josue Pavone. You guys know him from what used to be formerly the Banner 18 podcast, and now we're back to the Green Street podcast. So that's where he co-hosts with me here on WEI.com. Josue also essentially contributes to the website here multiple times a day during Celtic season. And I got to tell you, there's some great stuff on WEI.com right now by Josue Pavone. But Josue is in Sacramento, so I figured we got to use my co-host, my partner in crime, my podcast buddy, Josue, who's out there in Sacramento right now to bring us the latest on the Boston Celtics as they're about to tip off on game 2 of their West Coast road trip. Josue, thank you for finding sounds to be a quiet corner inside Sacramento right now.
Yeah, I found a good spot here, so it's perfect time for us to have this conversation. But yeah, it's good to be out here. You know, Cali's been good to me so far, and yeah, we got a good one tonight between the Celtics and the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to tonight's game. It's one of those games where the Kings remind me very much so of a mirror image of what the Celtics were a couple of years ago. A young upstart team, much better at home than on the road. A team that's always going to give you 100% effort. And I feel like that's what the Celtics need to be prepared for tonight. Is a team that is not going to take their foot off the gas at any point within this game tonight.
Right, and that's exactly the kind of team that we saw from the Celtics last night against the Warriors, and that's a team we've been searching for all season long pretty much, and that's exactly what we got. You know, a team that was not giving up on both ends of the floor, every single possession, giving them everything that they had. You saw guys on their feet, real rah-rah moments, you know, guys cheering on their teammates, and with everything that this team has been through, that was the kind of energy and attitude you wanted to see from the Celtics. Now, did I predict a blowout? Did I foresee a blowout against the champion Warriors? No, not at all. That was incredible basketball, incredible performance by the Celtics. But when you talk about a team like the Kings, you know, that same kind of attitude, that mentality, the Celtics are in that right now. You know, Brad Stevens talked about before the game how there's a vibe going on between his teammates and, or I should say, between his roster throughout his guys. And you saw that resonate on the floor. You also felt it a bit before the game. But when you saw their body language and when you saw their attitude on the floor, you just saw a completely different team. And hopefully we can see the same thing tonight.
So that's what I wanted to get into you with, is this vibe. Because I remember a couple of days ago, so the day before the Warriors game, the Celtics practiced out west. And there was all this sound coming out of practice. You were there. You were a part of it. And you know, the first sense that I got when I heard Kyrie Irving was, he sounds a little bit different. He sounds a little bit more upbeat. He sounds more positive. And then that trickled through to everybody else on the roster, all the way to the head coach and Brad Stevens. And that trend continued the next day. More sound came out of shoot around. And then watching what I watched last night. So not only the performance on the court, but like you mentioned, Josue, the performance by the guys on the bench just cheering on their teammates. And when I saw Terry Rozier step in the whole Aaron Baines situation, you see Jason Tatum step in that situation. These guys had each other's backs. So you tell me, how could this team be in a toxic situation, to steal a word from Jaylen Brown? How could they go from that situation where they were a no-show at home against the Rockets to 72 hours later, the team seems galvanized, they seem to get along, and they went and they beat the world champions? How does that happen?
I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to pride, Patrick. You know, I think this team knows, obviously, just like we all know, how talented they are. We know that they can compete with anyone in the league. And I think that when their name is essentially thrown through the mud about a team that's been one of the most disappointing teams or one of the quote-unquote title contenders that haven't fulfilled that promise, I think they kind of rubbed them the wrong way. You know, Kyrie Irving talked about the plane ride to Cali. It was a long ride. They got to all talk and express themselves. It wasn't one of those team meetings, so to speak, you know, the ones that we've been hearing about the last couple of months or throughout the course of the regular season. But it was more like an open session where everyone was able to speak their mind and just sort of talk about things that didn't necessarily have to do with X's and O's and basketball. Just get to know each other more and get to open up about things. And I think that really helped and really went a long way. I also think a conversation between Brad Stevens and Kyrie Irving went a long way. I mean, of course, Kyrie Irving is not going to give you the details of that conversation, but there was two lengthy conversations that I think maybe put his head in the right place. But again, this doesn't completely come down on Kyrie Irving. I know there's a lot of weight on his shoulders. I know how important he is to this team, and the things he said hasn't necessarily helped throughout the course of the regular season. But I think when you look at, like you said, that moment that happened against the Warriors, when guys got tangled up and people had each other's back, I mean, I think that's what it boils down to. Everyone has to have each other's back. Everyone has to sort of help each other out, and that's when it's going to translate not only off the court, but on the court. And we saw that against the Warriors.
Hey, Josue, I just want to take something you just said right there. You said that it can't all come down on Kyrie Irving. Here's what I'll say about that. You're right. Basketball-wise, it doesn't 100% fall on Kyrie Irving's shoulders. But for whatever the reason, whether it's because he's a champion, he's a multi-time all-star, he's a transcendent player, whatever the reason is, the previous 4 years under Brad Stevens, the team took on the identity of its coach. And this year, for better or for worse, it seemed to take on the identity of Kyrie Irving. And that comes with good and bad. And over the last month, it was bad as Kyrie's attitude became sort of disattached. He seemed not to care nearly as much. He was always in a bad mood. He was short with reporters. He just wasn't the same guy that we had come to know here throughout his first year. As that was happening, it seemed like it was sort of trickling down to everybody else on the roster. And then last night, you see this jovial, upbeat, happy-to-be-here Kyrie Irving. And what do you know? The team is jovial, upbeat, happy-to-be-there, and galvanized. Mm-hmm. So they do seem to play a bit of follow the leader, for better or for worse.
That's true. I mean, obviously, he didn't do anyone favors by saying things that necessarily didn't have anything much to do with basketball. You know, it was a lot of anti-media comments that I thought was obviously a distraction, you know, throughout the team. And I think that he knows that. Conversations, of course, with also Danny Ainge probably helped kind of put his head in the right place and lead the way that we all expected him to lead, or at least wanted him to lead up until this point. So he doesn't necessarily – it does follow him in terms of being the leader for this team. But also, Patrick, you got to remember that he's still trying to figure this out. And I know we're still late into the regular season, and I know that it's gotten to the point where, like you said in our podcast, last episode, like, we're constantly making excuses for Kyrie Irving. But I also think it's the younger guys, and along with the veterans, who've also taken everyone sort of on the same page. And I think the trip has really done that to them. I think being the underdog, quote-unquote underdog, and Brad Stevens talked about that as well, saying how he doesn't necessarily look a lot into that or look deep into that. But I think that kind of help things, you know. It's like, okay, no one expects us to come out of the East. Well, you know what? We're going to prove everybody wrong, you know. We're going to show how talented we are. Let's figure it out now. And when we go into the postseason, let's just see what happens. We'll take it day by day, game by game, and just seem to click perfectly against the Warriors, and it was just too much for them to handle.
It is Sports Radio WEEI. It's WEEI Late Night. Patrick Gilroy with you guys. Joining me on the line right now, WEEI.com's Josue Pavone. And Josue, before we sort of turn our attention to tonight's matchup against the Kings, just a couple leftover things from last night, because we could sit here and break down last night's game for 4 hours. I'm trying to do it in 4 minutes. you wrote on WEEI.com today that Kyrie Irving says that this team has finally found their identity. Do you believe what he's saying? Do you think that this team finally has that identity?
I think defensively they have, but I don't know if it's going to necessarily go back to being that rock-solid defensive team that we used to always see from Brad Stevens. Now, I do think that he does believe what he's saying. I think that it's going to take a few more games. I know Golden State, that game is going to obviously be the talking point for quite some time now, but they need to be able to do this on a consistent level. And we have to wait and see if how consistent they can be on the defensive end. I mean, to hold a team like the Warriors under 100 points was remarkable, considering this team was just pretty much blew them out the water. They never led the game once. They come the fourth quarter, they had a huge lead. All the starters essentially were on the bench resting, and they still held on to that big lead without giving up 100 points against the Golden State Warriors. I mean, that's the kind of intensity on the defensive end that I think is going to get this team deep into the playoffs. So we have to see that on a consistent level. And speaking of consistency, Patrick, we can see the same kind of consistency from Gordon Hayward. Now, I'm not expecting Gordon Hayward to all of a sudden average 30 points from here on out, but what he did off the bench, being that spark, being that offensive weapon that can go inside along with the outside touch, that will completely change the dynamic of this team, or the complexion of this team, I should say. And I think that is something to keep a close eye on. And, of course, other guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum being consistent the way they've been lately is going to also go a long way for this team.
Well, those 2 points sort of go hand in hand, Josue, because one of the things that we've talked about on Late Night all season long is it sucks that Gordon Hayward has not come back the way that we hoped he would. It sucks that he's got to deal with this physically and mentally. We all feel for the guy. But as far as what the Celtics are dealing with on the court, one of the issues they've had is a lack of an identity, especially offensively. So, in other words, you don't have that hierarchy that most dominant teams have. You know, we saw it last night with the Golden State Warriors. They're missing one of their big three, and it affects everybody else down the line. So what's happened this year is you've got Kyrie Irving, and then who's number two? Is it Jason Tatum? Is it Jaylen Brown? Marcus Morris thought he was that guy. Where does Al Horford fit into that mix? But a guy like Gordon Hayward was supposed to be that number two. And when he's able to fill that role, now everything falls into place very naturally. Now it's Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and some combination of Marcus Morris and Al Horford round it out. That makes a lot more sense. And now everybody's got their identity, their role carved out, and it just works for the Boston Celtics.
Right, but also, Patrick, you got to remember that there's been teams in the past, Brad Stevens-led teams, where you sort of didn't know exactly who's going to be the second-best scorer night in and night out, who's going to be the third-best scorer night in and night out. We know chances are it's going to be Kyrie Irving, but that kind of depth and that kind of team that we're seeing from the Celtics team, at least the team that we thought we were going to see all year long, that's what you can expect. You know, you're not necessarily sure. Maybe one night it'll be Marcus Morris who puts up 19 or 20. Another night, Gordon Hayward puts up 24. You know, so as long as the offense continues to flow, you know, we talk about a team that nearly dished out 40 assists last night against the Golden State Warriors. I mean, I know they haven't been playing the best defense lately, but that's still a remarkable feat for this young team. You know, that's the kind of basketball we want to see. A lot of assists, shooting close to 50%. They shot 51% against the Warriors last night. And, of course, limiting their turnovers while forcing turnovers on the opposite end. The defense will trigger the offense, and that's exactly what we saw from this squad against the Warriors. But, I mean, that depth is going to get this team along a far way. I mean, that's the kind of depth that this team needs if they really want to make a push to the NBA Finals.
All right, Celtics, they're in Sacramento tonight to take on the Kings. The Kings right now, a game over 500. They've been one of the better stories in the NBA this year, but they've sort of slipped up over their last 10 games. They're 4-6. They're 3.5 games behind the Clippers right now for the eighth and final playoff spot. So you should expect the Kings to come out and play sort of desperate basketball as they're starting to run out of time there in the Western Conference to make the playoffs. But when you look at the Kings and you look at the type of team that they have, you know, we talk about Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Willie Cauley-Stein, Harrison Barnes. This is a young team that's somewhat loaded. So for Celtics fans that haven't had an opportunity to watch much of Kings basketball, and I think that's most Celtics fans, who should people sort of keep an eye on tonight?
I mean, De'Aaron Fox really runs that offense. You know, we talk about a team that has a lot of speed, a lot of energy. I mean, he's the biggest reason why, or at least one of them. Buddy Hield can get going. I mean, you got other guys like Giles has sort of come out of his shell here recently. So that's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Celtics. You know, I know it's the second night of the back-to-back, but it's also a tough team that, like you said, is looking to make the playoffs this year, and they're going to make a push for it. But also, you have to keep a close eye on someone like Harrison Barnes. I mean, he can attack the rim as well, put the ball on the floor. You know, that was a great addition to their team. And you can't also forget how things can really get going fast with this team if you're not careful enough. It's going to be interesting to see how Terry Rozier handles his role tonight against the Kings. He did sort of bounce back a bit from the funk that he's been going through the last couple of weeks last night against the Warriors. But with him leading the offense, I mean, it's going to be come down to not only him playing defense against someone like Fox, but also being able to lead that offense on the other end for the Celtics. And this is a really good test for him, you know, with Kyrie Irving sitting, and we'll see what he can do. But I'm very excited to see this one because this is going to come down to the wire, in my opinion.
Very briefly there, you mentioned Terry Rozier, but he's starting tonight in place of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving out with some sort of contusion right now. And that's something that we've seen happen I'm going to say, 4 or 5 times over the last 2 months where he's missed a game with the exact same sort of diagnosis here. Is this just a night of rest after overextending himself last night, or is there something legitimately worrisome when it comes to Kyrie Irving?
I think it's just a night of rest, Patrick. I think it's one of those situations where the Celtics are, they kind of see the finish line here, and the second night of the back-to-back, they're saying, you know what, let's just be a little cautious. We don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we have to see Kyrie Irving sit any postseason game. So they picked this moment solely on the fact that it was the second night of a back-to-back. I do expect to see him in Los Angeles against the Lakers. But also, you know, you want to keep these guys elevated, the bench. I do think the second unit is very important for this team. And I think it's very important for someone like Terry Rozier to be a contributor. You know, you saw the last few games, minus the Warriors game. I think he put up about 11 points against the Warriors, which is sort of a positive night for someone like Terry Rozier this season. But in the past, I mean, the last couple of weeks, it's been tough. You know, he's been going through it. You see him putting the energy in. You see him putting in the effort, but just hasn't translated on the court. So this would be a really good night for him, sort of turn things around a bit between him, Gordon Hayward, and Jaylen Brown coming off the bench. I mean, those are the first three guys that are going to come off the bench and essentially lead this second unit. So you would have to have someone like Terry Rozier. You would like to have someone like Terry Rozier as a reliable weapon down the stretch. So you want to get his confidence up, and I think this is a good situation, a good opportunity for him to do that.
All right, Josue Pavone, he's out there in Sacramento for Game 2 of the Celtics 4-game West Coast road trip. This is the game that I sort of pointed to going into this trip as the potential trap game. You've got revenge factors coming up against both the Lakers and the Clippers, and let's face it, anytime you play Doc, anytime you play LeBron, you get up for those games. But coming off last night's win, this type of game is your traditional NBA trap game. But if this Celtics team really has turned a corner, Josue, one of the things that was a hallmark of these Brad Stevens-led teams in years past was their ability to win on the second night of a back-to-back. So what do you expect from the Celtics team tonight, energy-wise, and do you think that they can pull this thing off tonight?
I think so, Patrick. You know, I think there's plenty of energy throughout this roster. I'm looking for someone like Jason Tatum to really have a big night. I think this is a good situation for him. I love seeing him attack the rim the way he did against the Golden State Warriors, so I expect him to do the same. Marcus Smart is another player who I think will really bring it. It is his birthday today. He sort of was in a really, really good mood this morning on Twitter, answering fans and just really feeling himself, you know, on this special day, birthday, and with everything going on between the Celtics and him and how everything's been going so well.
Is he 26?
That's resonating throughout the roster.
Is he 25 or 26?
25.
So he's 25 years old. It feels like he's a 10-year vet. It's crazy to me that the guy is still that young. He's 25 years old, but it is Marcus Smart's birthday. I guess that means that he's got the green light from three whenever and however many times he wants tonight.
he gets the pass from Brad Stevens tonight, absolutely.
All right, Josue, enjoy yourself out there in Sacramento. Thanks for joining us here tonight, and we look forward to reading your stuff. Are you going to stay up and post something after the game tonight, or we have to wait till tomorrow?
I will post something tonight, but chances are, because of the time change, I mean, if people want to stay up that late, you know, you can give me a couple of hours, but if not, you know what, you can read it on your way to work.
People
are taken.
No, they're staying up late. They're listening to me here. People are staying up late tonight, Josue.
You know, you're right. Yes, we're good, yeah.
All right, Josue.
Plenty of time.
Josue Pavone's in Sacramento. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, you got it.
All right, there he goes. Josue Pavone from WEEI, WEEI.com. Also co-hosts the Green Street Podcast right alongside myself. It is Sports Radio WEI. Now we've got our sort of check-in from Sacramento for Game 2 of the Celtics West Coast road trip. We will get into some leftover thoughts from last night's game with you guys tonight. As look, anytime you go in to Golden State, you come away with a victory, that's a big deal. But in a season like this season, it's a particularly big deal. So Celtics fans, you know, I'm very curious to hear what it meant to you. Personally, what did it mean to you? Does it mean that we get reinvested back into this basketball team, or is it just more of the same? Is this just another, you know, blip on the radar, like the wins against Philly, the win against Toronto, the win against Milwaukee? The Celtics team, they've beaten some quality teams this year, some of the best in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So it's not like this team hasn't had quality victories this year. And I feel like a lot of people today in the media were pointing to this game as the first time this year that they've won one of these quality games against a quality opponent on national TV. That is not the case. There's been plenty of disappointments this year, but they've also had some hallmark signature type victories. What makes this one different? We'll talk about that with you guys. Also want to get into the Stephen Wright stuff, because I am of the mind that I particularly don't care. We talked about this when Julian Edelman got pinched last year for 4 games for the PEDs. And I told you right then and there, and I got a lot of hate from you guys, but I'm one of those people that I just don't care. If they want to use, professional athletes want to use PEDs, if they want to make a deal with the devil to potentially shorten their lifespan or at least drastically and negatively affect their quality of life in many different ways. If they want to do that to entertain you, that's ultimately what we're paying for. We are paying our hard-earned money to watch these guys entertain us. That's what sports is, and sometimes we lose sight of that. So we pay money to go to the movies. We pay money to go to a concert. We pay money to do this, that, and the other thing. And if Tom Cruise gets pinched, you know, using a PED because he's got to get up for his next Mission Impossible movie, nobody cares. You know, if Tom Cruise takes Botox or uses some Botox or does something to stay young looking, nobody cares. It's all artificial, but they're allowed to do it to better entertain us and to sort of hang on to their careers for a longer period of time in Hollywood. We don't mind that. Why do we take such offense when athletes use PEDs? I am of the mind it would be much, much simpler when it comes to Hall of Fame voting, when it comes to perception, when it comes to the way that we judge these guys, if ultimately we could all just get a grip and say, you know what, to hell with it. It's up to them if they want to use a PED or two. I mean, after all, you know, Stephen Wright coming back from an injury, it was probably to come back quicker and heal the knee as opposed to, I don't know, the guy throws 84 miles an hour. So it's not like he was dialing up to be like Roger Clemens out there at 45 years old, still throwing smoke. That was not the goal of what this guy was doing. But regardless of the goal, ultimately it's cost him 80 games. Ultimately, we have the debate each and every year, it seems like, when it comes to guys getting into the Hall of Fame that are potential PED users. I am of the mind that I don't care. Is it a generational thing with me, or is it just something where I look at this differently than most people do? So I'm very curious to hear from you guys tonight, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, it doesn't matter to me. I want a blanket ruling over all professional sports saying if they want to use it, if they want to use PEDs, by all means. Maybe they've got to declare that they're using it. Maybe they've got to use it officially through the team. I don't know. Maybe there's a way to do it and to regulate it. That way it's available to everybody. But I don't have a problem with professional athletes using PEDs. Is that something that you guys have a problem with, or am I just alone on an island out there? We'll talk about that. Get into some Patriot stuff coming up in a little while as well. Want to talk about Tom Brady's contract situation, talk about Jamie Collins and the possibility of him potentially returning on the cheap to the Patriots. We'll talk about that. And Kevin Winter from ESPN, he'll join us coming up in the 11 o'clock hour as well. So we've got an action-packed 4-hour program with you guys tonight right here on Sports Radio WEI. It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we will get into some Hoops talk coming up a little bit later in the program, recapping what we saw the Celtics pull off last night. Also continue to keep you guys updated on the Celtics in Sacramento tonight. Right now they're trailing the Kings with about 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, 22-19. But I did want to get into a couple of topics that, quite frankly, I've been trying to get into over the last few days here, but it's been difficult to do. The first one really is something that broke really this morning when it comes to the whole steroid thing. And you know, this is something we touched on, I don't know, a couple months back. We had a really nice conversation for about 4 hours talking about Julian Edelman and really the mentality of football players and how it's different from any other sport, right? But I said it then and I'll say it now, is I don't think that these things should be mutually exclusive, meaning I understand that football players more or less get a pass. There were some people calling for Julian Edelman after the Super Bowl to not get the MVP and, you know, to really to take more of a personal and professional hit than he took because, quote-unquote, he was a cheater. But most of those people are the same people that continue to complain about the Patriots regardless, right? Because he was a New England Patriot, we made a bigger deal out of it. The fact is, guys get hit, they get pinched in the NFL quite a bit, and it generally goes under the radar. It's never the big story like it is in Major League Baseball, like it is in other sports. And today we saw it affect the Red Sox, and now it's Stephen Wright. It's a knuckleball pitcher. It's a guy that, you know, certainly isn't using PEDs to to dial it up and be Roger Clemens at 45 years old. That's not the goal here. Clearly, it's to get back from an injury and to really try to have an effective tail end of his career. But yet, we're going to sit here and pass judgment on him. And I feel like each and every time this happens, that's what we do. We sit here, we take phone calls, and we are not alone. I mean, this happens all over the country. It happens on both radio stations. It happens on radio, on TV, in print, online. People have this debate, and it's a debate that goes nowhere because there is no blanket answer, right? And that's what I'm proposing here. We need to find a way where we can universally either disavow or universally accept these things. They can't be sport to sport. They can't be athlete to athlete. And it can't be situation to situation, meaning, you know, on one hand, you want to take it easy on a guy like Stephen Wright because, let's face it, he's coming back from an injury and he's not a guy that's dialing it up to 94, 95 miles an hour. So what's he doing here? How is he hurting the level of competition in Major League Baseball? What is the negative effect to him using something here to get back from an injury? Right, you can't take that and identify that and pin it up against a guy like Roger Clemens, who was able to dial it back up at the tail end of his career and continue to pitch into the low and mid-90s, you know, post 40 years old, winning Cy Young Awards. You can't disavow one and allow the other. Otherwise, you'll get lost in the minutiae and the BS of the conversation, and that's going nowhere. So my proposal that I've had all along here is just allow it. Allow it. I'm not saying legalize it, you know, in general, but I'm saying allow it. Allow it through all these professional sports and leave it up to the individuals, leave it up to the athletes if they want to use something. And if they do, they go through the team to get it. Maybe it has to be publicly known. That way there are no secrets. But at this point, at least it's an even playing field, meaning everybody's got the opportunity if they so choose. Otherwise, you're just going to continue this cat and mouse game where you've got the labs and the scientists trying to stay ahead of the testing. And ultimately, the testing always catches up. Then the labs come up with something else, and it just never ends. So I'm fascinated by the topic, and it's one where I know that I can't be the only person that doesn't care. You know, I happen to be very lucky. At 39 years old, I told you guys I've been doing radio professionally for 19 years. But even before that, in 1998, 99, right around there, I was interning at Kiss 108 FM, top 40 station, here with the Matty Show. And they did almost no sports. But Billy Costa was their news director. And as part of news, they did have some sports. So the All-Star Game was here. And they allowed me the privilege of representing the radio station on the field for the All-Star Weekend. So for all of the festivities. So I was literally down there as a teenager on the field watching Mark McGwire do what he did, watching him just hit bomb after bomb after bomb. And it was wildly entertaining. And still to this day, if you go to YouTube and watch clips, it is captivating. It is electric. And to me, that's what I'm paying for if I'm a customer. That's what I want to see. I want to see guys out there, and I want to see them perform at their physical peak, at their physical best. And if you're a great player, and taking something allows you the opportunity to hold on a little bit longer and entertain me for an additional few years, well, then so be it if you choose to use it. Nobody's going to force you to, but really, we're all grown-ups here, and guys are going to do what they're going to do anyways. I want to be entertained. If you want to entertain me to the maximum potential, I'm paying my good money. If you make a deal with the devil and put your career ahead of your health, put your career ahead of your life, who am I to disavow that, and who am I to judge? So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get right out to these phones. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie's in the car. Charlie, you're first up here on WEEI.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
Good, Charlie. What's on your mind, man?
Not much. I want to say I love the show. I love your Celtics coverage, always.
Thank you.
But on the topic of steroids, like the Tom Cruise thing that you said, it didn't make sense to me because Tom Cruise isn't playing for some, you know, like the people who are using steroids are playing teams in other cities where other people are pulling for these teams. Everyone's got their own team. And so it seems like it's a little bit lopsided when some people are, you know, what is called cheating right now by injecting steroids and other things like that. Where I think like, so I feel like it needs to be all or one, all or none, excuse me. And, So I don't know.
How do you get to the point, though, Charlie? And I get your point. I really do. And in a perfect world, you make it none. But how right. how do you actually regulate that? How do you make that happen? Because time after time, guys are getting caught, which means guys are still using it. And you have to imagine for every guy that gets caught, there's 10 guys not getting caught. So it's got to the point now where it's almost comical to me. Because,
right. You
know, Stephen Wright, of all people, Stephen Wright, really, and it's 84-mile-an-hour knuckleball, but he had his own reasons for doing it. I just don't know how we're going to finally regulate this so you don't get lost in the minutiae of who's going to go to the Hall of Fame, who's allowed in, who's not allowed in. Do we put a separate, category in for these guys? Yeah, it makes no sense to me. At some point, you don't have to force everybody to use it, Charlie, but what I'm saying is at least make it an option that's on the table, you know, team by team by team, and it goes through the team doctors, and at least these guys will know at that point exactly what they're putting into their bodies, and a medical professional is injecting it for them.
Right. So I think in my perfect world, I think it would be none, because just what I enjoy about sports is watching these athletes, like, is the purity that maybe my naive brain has about it, in that just all the hard work and years that these guys put into this thing, and it's just their just physicality. There's no extra, you know, stuff that they're putting in themselves to make it better. It's all the work and, you know, that they put in years.
I look, in a perfect world, man, I am 1,000% with you. I'm right there with you. And listen, I appreciate the phone call, and we will get into the Celtics and, you know, that sort of stuff a little bit later in the program. But, you know, this sort of stuff fascinates me. This sort of topic fascinates me, if only because everybody's got their own opinion. And some people are hell-bent. I mean, if you listen to some of the sports writers that vote for the Hall of Fame, man, they get legitimately offended when people are caught using steroids or PEDs, whatever it is, whether it's HGH, whether it's anabolic, whatever the substance is, people get fired up about this stuff. And to me, I've never really let it affect me. Every time I see a story, whether it's a Boston-based story or not, it never gets me riled up, because I'm of the mindset that most of these guys are trying to find an edge anyways. You know, it goes back to the whole thing with Deflategate. Whether Deflategate was real or fabricated, it doesn't make a difference to me. We'll never know exactly what went on there. But if Tom Brady really was deflating the footballs by literally a hair, like a hair, because he felt he got some sort of a competitive advantage, it's no different than Aaron Rodgers saying that, you know, he overinflated the footballs by a hair because that's how he liked it. It's the same thing. It's a competitive advantage that they believe mentally and physically that they're getting by slightly breaking the rules. To me, it's who cares? You want to see Aaron Rodgers perform at the top of his game because it's more entertaining. You want to see Tom Brady at the top of his game because it's more entertaining. And when it comes to HGH or steroid use or whatever it is, you know, PEDs in general, I think of a guy like Gordon Hayward. Now, Gordon Hayward has fought tooth and nail to find his way back to the Boston Celtics this year. And we've seen him have his ups and downs all year long, fighting that ankle, fighting his health, fighting physical and mental health, right, to try and make his way back to being the all-star that he once was. And he has taken a tremendous amount of criticism. Whether it's justified or not is a discussion for another day. But if there was an opportunity for him to, I'm not even going to call it taking a shortcut, because the amount of rehabilitation work that he's done is obscene. The amount of work that this guy has put in from the moment he got injured to the point where he was last night putting up 30 points at Oracle, yet the amount of work that he's put in quietly that nobody knows about is absolutely obscene. But if there was a way to make him, I don't know, a little bit healthier right now because he had taken some sort of a program alongside all of that rehab work, well, then what's wrong with that? He's already doing a tremendous amount of work anyways, and maybe it's just a mental thing. Maybe he'll think that if he's taking something, you know, mentally, his ankle will be stronger, so we don't have to deal with the mental part of his rehabilitation as well. My point is this. These guys have all the best trainers in the world. They've got all the best access to the best facilities in the world. All of these teams in modern-day professional sports, they've got doctors, they've got therapists, they've got massage therapists, they've got trainers, they've got this, that, and the other thing, you know, specialty guys that come in and work with guys physically, specialty guys that work with guys mentally. I mean, you name it, personal chefs. I mean, when Big Baby was here, when Glenn Davis was here, they literally had a personal chef that lived with him to make sure that they monitored and they prepared each and every meal that he got, because not only was Big Baby chubby, he had a tendency to explode. When left to his own decision-making, that man would just, he would pump himself up 60, 80 pounds, and that's not an exaggeration, and he could do it in a matter of months because he had absolutely zero impulse control. So what did the Celtics do? What so many other teams have done, and that's they hire a chef to live with you, a live-in chef, to essentially feed this guy like he's a child. Right? So the Celtics knew exactly what he was taking in for calories and food and whatnot. We go to all these extremes in all these professional sports to continue to get these guys to play at their peak, perform at their peak, and really live up to 100% of their best potential. But if taking something gets you back from an injury a little bit faster, if taking something helps you extend your career a little bit longer, if taking something helps you be a little bit more effective on the baseball diamond, on the basketball court, on the football field, well, then who the hell am I to judge? I want to see that. I want to see the best version of Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski for as long as I can see it, because that's worth my money. Do you know what I mean? That is worth my money. So if there's a way to keep Gronk healthy and keep him on the field for the next 2, 3, 4 years, and all it means is he's got to make a little deal with the devil and it's legal for him to do it, well then, if he chooses to do it, I win. If he chooses not to do it, he might win. But I want to win. I want to see these guys perform at their peak for as long as possible. Stephen Wright, it's unfortunate. Now, 80 games gone. Just trying to get back from an injury so he can get back to doing the game that he loves before he ages out of it. Now he's gone for 80 games, and even when he comes back, he can't play in the postseason. He can't pitch in the postseason. That is such an overreaction, and it is such an archaic way of thinking. It just pisses me off even talking about it. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's WEI Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion here on steroids, HGH. PEDs also start to mix in some Robert Kraft stuff. The guy is doubling down on his legal counsel. Is it the right move? Is it the wrong move? What the hell is Robert Kraft thinking? We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio, WEI. It is Late Night. Right here on Sports Radio, WEI, it's Patrick Gilroy with you as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Right now, the Celtics, 6 minutes remaining in the second quarter here in the first half. The Celtics, they're up 4 over Sacramento, 42-38. We'll talk with ESPN's Kevin Winter coming up around 11:30 tonight. Looking forward to that, as he was the studio host last night for the Celtics game at Oracle against the world champion Golden State Warriors. Until then, we're taking your phone calls, talking about a couple of things here, talking about the whole steroid thing in baseball as it's reared its ugly head again here in Boston. And now you've got the second major Boston athlete facing suspension this year. First, it was, of course, Julian Edelman missing the first 4 games of the season with the PED violation that was directly tied to, you know, his rehabilitation coming back from injury. And now you've got essentially the same thing happening with Stephen Wright. You know, he gets pinched using PEDs. Clearly, you know, the goal at hand for Stephen Wright is to rehabilitate and get back as fast as possible, as this is the guy that, you know, he's aging. He doesn't have all that much time left, and I'm sure he wants to pitch for the world champion Boston Red Sox while the getting's still good. And unfortunately for him, it's the exact opposite that wound up happening. So now he's going to miss the first 80 games of the year, and he's not playoff eligible. But I'll tell you what, one of the texters at 37937 had a good idea, because ultimately here, my whole train of thought is you got to find a way to make this a legal option here. That way, if you do that, if you find a way to make it a legal option for these guys, now we've got a blanket sort of ruling or a blanket sort of rule in general that applies over all the major sports here. And if they go through the teams, and if there is an agreed upon rule where if you go through the team doctors and the teams sanction it, the teams are okay with it, at this point, it's an even playing field. We're not forcing anybody to use it, and you're not forcing anybody not to use it. If somebody wants to make a deal with the devil and really harm their own body for their own benefit, well, then so be it, because there's two people, or three really, entities benefiting from their decision to use some sort of PED. They benefit from it because they're either going to get faster, stronger, quicker, or rehabilitate faster, right? One way or the other, they are going to positively, there's going to be a positive impact for their careers, or that is their goal, that is their likelihood. Whether it comes to pass or not, who knows? It depends on how hard they work. You can't just take HGH, you can't just take some sort of steroid and expect something magical to happen. People actually believe that. People think that, and that is not reality. You need to work your ass off anyways. So most of these guys are already putting in the work. But to the texter that says, just let them use it for injury recovery until a month before the season, then go to testing monthly. That is forced. If you're using it on the offseason, it's got to be reported. I love that. That way, if you're using it in the offseason, you know, it's between you and the team, but it's allowed. And if you're using it for recovery from an injury so you can get back faster, get back to earning money faster, well then, to me, that is beneficial. It's beneficial to the athlete. It's beneficial to the team. And of course, you know, it's beneficial to the fans. And ultimately, that's all that matters. One of the things that pissed me off about Kyrie Irving's comments last week when Steve Bulpet was questioning him about the video that he had during All-Star Weekend with Kevin Durant and their back and forth, and how that sort of exploded online and people started to think and read into it that it was Kyrie saying two max contracts, go to New York, yada, yada, yada. Well, Steve Bulpet felt like asking, you know, Kyrie questions about that. And it got into this whole dialogue about the fans And Steve Bulpet backed up his reasoning for asking the question because the fans deserve to know. The fans want to know. And Kyrie didn't like that. He didn't like the idea that the fans matter in this situation because it's his life. No, the fans are all that matters. You guys are all that matters. Not the athletes. I mean, the athletes are the product that gets put out on the field. They are the entertainment. But without the fans to drive it, then there's nothing there. You know, it's a supply and demand thing. It's as old as time itself. You know, without the demand, the supply is irrelevant. Without the demand from you guys, the supply is playing at a park somewhere if they truly love the game. And that's something that's lost on all these professional athletes today. That is something that really they need to take a good look in the mirror and understand that without you guys paying the incredibly high ticket prices, without you guys willing to hold on to cable, which is archaic today, but a lot of the times we're forced to hold on to it to watch two or three particular sports stations so you can watch the Celtics, so you can watch the Red Sox. You need NESN. You need NBC Sports Boston. And in some markets, you have to pay big dollars for it. It's not part of the basic package, and you're forced to sticking around and have cable because you want to watch your teams. These athletes, they don't get that. But when it comes to me and my opinion here, it's as simple as this. The fans matter, and the fans want to see these athletes play, and they want to see them play at an incredibly high level, and they want to see them play at that high level for as long as possible. And as a Celtics fan, I would love to find a way to get Gordon Hayward back and healthy consistently and get him back to being the all-star that the Celtics invested their money in. And if taking a little something here, you know, if working out with Julian Edelman or Stephen Wright and taking what they took can get this guy back closer to being the guy he was in Utah just a little bit faster, well, that benefits him, it benefits the Celtics, and it benefits the fans most of all. Because now the Celtics are a much better basketball team because of the decision that Gordon Hayward made, right? But it's never going to happen because everybody is still, they're too stuck in their old ways. And everybody's got a stick up their ass when it comes to this sort of thing because nobody wants to be honest with themselves. Nobody wants to be honest with themselves or each other, be it the fans, be it the teams, be it the athletes themselves, be it the organizations. You know, if everybody could just have a lie detector test sort of hooked up to them and be asked the question, did you enjoy Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire? Did you enjoy that? Did people enjoy Barry Bonds and what he was doing? Like, all those things, those are three guys where there was clear-cut evidence that they were absolutely juicing. And we all loved it. People literally, this is pre-internet days or very, very early on in the infancy of the internet. So this is before we all had smartphones. This is at the peak of having to wake up in the morning and turn on SportsCenter to figure out what happened the night before. You know, this is when SportsCenter was absolutely at the peak of its powers. And everybody woke up and turned it on for one reason and one reason only, because you wanted to see what Sammy Sosa did. You wanted to see what Mark McGwire did. You wanted to see what Barry Bonds did. Even Roger Clemens, pitching as well as he did after he left Boston, going to Toronto, and then eventually going to Texas. You know, he was somebody that was absolutely juicing, no question about it. And we got, what, an additional 5, 6, 7 years of effective Roger Clemens, dominant Roger Clemens, which was good for baseball. It was good for baseball fans, and it was good for Major League Baseball in general. We're talking about one of the best pitchers ever to play the game, and he's not going to go to the Hall of Fame. Because we got the gift of being entertained a little bit longer by the Rocket. To me, that is so hypocritical. You know, you can't put this guy out there and market them, all of these guys. You can't put them out there. You can't market them. You can't make money off of them. And then disavow them and eventually not allow them into the Hall of Fame because they chose to use a steroid when ultimately everybody knew they were doing it anyways. So at the time in which these guys were using, you know, every single promotional commercial, be it on Fox, be it on NBC, be it on the local regional channels throughout Major League Baseball, every single one of them, guess what they were doing? They were highlighting what these guys were doing to help convince you to watch the damn game. And now we all want to sit up high and mighty and say, nope, you can't get into my Hall of Fame, not allowed in. Well, if you were one of the ones that was entertained by this whole thing, then how dare you be one of the people that says, nope, can't go to the Hall of Fame. Shame on you. You're a bad guy. Same thing with Julian Edelman, for that matter. You know, Julian Edelman's a guy where not only is he a great Patriot, a great football player, not only, you know, is he the MVP of the Super Bowl, not only is he one of Tom Brady's go-to guys, most trusted receivers, absolutely in the inner circle, not only is he that guy, but he's also a guy that's handsome, good-looking, he's somebody that is absolutely charismatic, and he's somebody that the Patriots like to use to sell. right? He's somebody, he's an image. He's somebody that the Patriots put on tickets. He's somebody the Patriots put on posters. He's somebody that's out there having his own personal deals. People use him as a marketing tool, all right? He's somebody that's out there selling products for other companies. Everybody's making money off the backs of Julian Edelman. And then you've got people all over the NFL, outside of New England, because we love him here, but people all over the NFL, fans all over the NFL, acting all high and mighty, saying the Patriots cheated again for another Super Bowl because, you know, their star receiver, he cheated, quote-unquote, cheated because he got caught using some sort of PED. And now Stephen Wright's mixed up in this as well. You know, a little common sense goes a long way. And again, if it's for injury recovery, there's got to be a way to regulate that. Maybe you can find a way where a particular type of PED is allowed if it benefits injury recovery, and it's only allowed during the offseason. It's only allowed, like the texter said, for injury recovery. But you can't be taking it in season, and you can't take it just because you feel like it. But there's got to be a way where cooler heads prevail, and ultimately here, there's some sort of way to regulate this and some sort of way to at least allow it a little bit. Because these guys, they're going to continue to do it. And science is going to continue to develop things here. And as science continues to develop new ways of taking this stuff or new versions, new forms of it that ultimately go undetectable, every single undetectable PED ultimately winds up what? Detectable. And it's just this cat and mouse game that has gotten way too old for me, because we continue to play it. And it's been 20 years of the same conversation, the same debate, and the same cat and mouse game. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's WEI Late Night. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's get back to these phone calls. Let's go to Jacob. Jacob's in Wakefield. Jacob, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, man. Just wanted to call and shed some light on how I felt about the Sandy Special Mike McGuire era.
Yeah.
Well, let me just start off saying I'm a young kid. Right. I was looking up to them as superstars. They were my idols growing up. Wanted to be a baseball player. That was my dream, you know. And then I get older, right? I'm like, oh, this guy's the greatest. I got this plaque on my wall. He's 62. He's swinging the bat. And now I find out he cheated and he didn't really deserve it. And all the shit came out with Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa. And it made me distraught, you know. And I totally agree that fucking this shit shouldn't.
Yeah, we gotta go there. Appreciate the phone call. So I like what you're saying. I just don't like the way you deliver the message. How's that? You know,
a little rough around the edges.
There's nothing wrong with that, you know. But thank God for the dump button. Put it that way. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, we all grew up watching it. At 39 years old, I was at the peak of you know, watching baseball at 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. I loved it. I loved it because it was fun, and you didn't just have to watch your local Red Sox here. Baseball became this global game at the time, and it wasn't just here in the States. Everybody was fascinated on a global scale. Everybody wanted to watch this stuff on a global scale because ultimately it was captivating. And Major League Baseball is the most hypocritical organization of them all. Out of all of the major sports here, Major League Baseball and its fans are the most hypocritical of them all because on one hand, they act all high and mighty. They act like they're better than everybody else. You know, this is baseball. You don't touch baseball. You don't mess with baseball. That's why baseball's dying in a lot of markets. It's the exact same reason why, you know, baseball has decided against going to the pitch clock until what? The next collective bargaining agreement comes up in 3-4 years. It's a joke. I mean, everybody knows baseball's problem is it moves too slowly. There's a legit idea on the table that's being executed in minor leagues, but hey, we can't use it in the big leagues just yet. So we're going to continue to let baseball deteriorate and continue to let its fan base dissipate because we can't wake up. It's exactly the same mentality. It's archaic. It's an old way of thinking. And that's why baseball is trailing the other sports right now. But baseball, I feel like when it comes to PED use, when it comes to potential steroid use, when it comes to HGH use, if other sports essentially are going to come to some sort of an agreement at some point, whether it's in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But if they're going to wake up and find a way to allow their athletes the opportunity to potentially take something that helps benefit them, benefit the team, and they do it in a regulated and safe way, the only way the NBA, the only way the NHL, the only way the NFL will ultimately allow this to happen at some point down the line is if Major League Baseball is the trailblazer here. Because Major League Baseball has been front and center, and they're the ones that have got the harshest penalties. They're the ones that judge the players the most. They're the ones that act all high and mighty. So if they come down off their sort of high and mighty throne that they live at, well above everybody else in their own minds, if they come down off that throne eventually everybody else will follow suit. But if the NBA, for example, or the NHL, or even the NFL says, you know what, we're going to allow our players the opportunity to use these particular types of PEDs, it's going to be regulated through the team doctor, and they can only use it during this three-month period in the offseason or during regulated injury recovery, let's say. If the NFL does that, it'll never wind up happening. It'll never pass. It'll never be collectively bargained. And ultimately, it'll be a nice conversation that never goes anywhere. But if Major League Baseball is the trailblazer behind this thing, and if they're the one that gets it going, ultimately everybody will follow. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's WEI Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. It's halftime of the Celtics game right now, all tied up at 49 apiece. Celtics in Sacramento. A nice level of energy from the Celtics so far tonight. It's been a little bit, it's been some junky basketball. It's been imperfect basketball, but the energy level is right where you need it. No Kyrie Irving tonight either. He's out with a knee contusion. So when we come back, I want to get into some stuff here with Robert Kraft as well. So Robert Kraft today doubling down on his legal representation. You know, he's absolutely saying he's fighting this thing tooth and nail. Meanwhile, another guy in Florida today, one of the accused, one of the guys who had his marriage destroyed, had his face plastered all over TV, had his face plastered all over Florida. Yeah, that guy, one of those guys, one of the 200 guys. Well, guess what? The charges were dropped because it was a case of mistaken identity. But isn't that too little too late? And does that sort of show you a window into the case that these guys might have here? If this early on, before anything even goes to trial, you have the police, you've got the DA, the prosecutor, admitting fault, letting a guy off the hook because they admitted a mistake. But this poor guy is going to deal with the ramifications in his personal life, his professional life, his life at home with his wife for the rest of his life. It's been tarnished. I'm not going to say it's been ruined, but it's been absolutely tarnished and negatively affected because maybe they jump to conclusions here. Is that something that Robert Kraft might be looking at as part of his legal defense here? Is this a messy case that these guys are bringing against RKK? We'll talk about that and the whole mess of Procter & Gamble and Gillette Stadium and the naming rights and everything else when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.